want to preach on tonight. And actually, this thing that I want to preach on tonight, looking at the Bible, this phrase, or perhaps a variation of this phrase, is a command given in the Bible probably more than any other command. And yet, oftentimes, our failure to follow this command of the Bible causes us not to live for God, not to put first things first, as we heard tonight in the testimonies, not to do what God wants us to do. And you say, well, what is it, Pastor, that is the thing that is commanded in the Bible that so many people fail to follow, and therefore they don't really live for God, they don't put God first, and in fact, in some cases, they go to hell because of not following this command. And what is it? It's the phrase, fear not, fear not. And that phrase is used as a command more than any other, to my knowledge, in the Word of God. Fear not. And the Lord Jesus commanded his disciples 10 to 15 times, telling them not to be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. The Bible says there are people in hell that have feared to trust Jesus and to be saved. And it says the fearful and unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Fear not to trust Christ as your salvation. He will not fail you. I don't care what you believe about election. I don't care what you believe about this or what you believe about that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need not to be afraid. You shall indeed be saved. And when it comes to living the Christian life, though, I believe fear not is very important. And I want to just look at three different examples of this in the Bible and preach to you tonight a message for you to fear not. You say, Pastor, why should I not fear? Number one, because the God of the stars is the God of your broken heart. Sometimes people have broken hearts. Sometimes people are discouraged because of things that have happened in your life. And you're afraid to trust God because of that. You feel like God has failed you. You feel like God will fail you, and you dare not trust him, even though the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. God is the God of the broken heart. And the first mention of fear not that I find is in Genesis 21, verse number 8. And I'll read that first mention of the phrase that I have found anyway, fear not. It says in Genesis 21, verse 17, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. And you know, really, when you think of it, this young lady had a lot of reason to fear. She had been given to Abraham to be a surrogate mother for his child, Sarah, and Abraham, hoping that he would be the child of promise that God had said that Abraham would have the baby that would bless the whole world through his offspring. And so they couldn't have children. Sarah was barren, so they chose to give Hagar to Abraham. Sarah chose to do it. Abraham accepted it. And now they had the baby, but God said, nope, Sarah's going to have a baby, and it's going to be born when she's 90 years old. And she had that baby when she was 90 years old, was nursing a baby as a 90-year-old woman. Can you imagine that? No wonder she named the baby Laughter. Isaac means laughter. And God had the last laugh, you know. But the sad thing is that Abraham had put all his hope in Ishmael, the son of Hagar. And he said to God, oh, that Ishmael may live before thee. And now God told him, nope, it's going to be Isaac. And Sarah said, I can't have this woman in my house. I can't have this child in my house. In fact, when we were having Isaac's dedication, there was mockery going on there. They were mocking. And I can't have it. And God said to Abraham, what Sarah has said, go along with it, because I'm going to take care of Isaac. He's going to be the seed. And so Abraham rose early in the morning. He took some bread. He took up one bottle of water, gave it to Hagar, put it on her shoulder. And then the child, the young child, and Hagar were sent away. And she wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. I've been in that wilderness. It's a barren, bleak wilderness in southern Israel. And here she's wandering around with just a little food and just one bottle of water. And very soon that water gave up, and she had good reason to be afraid, humanly speaking, because she had a child, a young child with her, single mother, no father, no income. She'd just been fired as being the handmaid in the home. She was unemployed. I mean, she had nothing, nobody, and nothing. And she had a broken heart as well because of how she'd been treated by Sarah and by Abraham. I don't know what you're going through tonight, but perhaps you have some things weighing upon your heart, weighing upon your life, that are making you discouraged, making you afraid, making you to be fearful. But the message tonight to Hagar and to you is, fear not. Whatever it is you're going through, because the God of the stars is also the God of your broken heart that you may be experiencing. The Bible says in Psalm 147, verse 4, about God, He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Can you imagine that? But then the verse just before that, Psalm 147, verse 3, says this, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. You know, when you have discouragement, when you have hurts in your life, you don't need to be fearful. You need to take it to God. Because God can bind up and heal the breaking in your heart. You know, God doesn't want us to be broken from Him, but broken to Him, so He can heal our heart. He is a God that calls all the stars by their name. Can you think of that? You know, we're told that light travels 186,287 miles per second. 187,000 plus miles per second. Now, they've measured the nearest star, which is Proxima Centauri, to the Earth, and that is 4.2 light years from the Earth. You say, well, how many miles is that? Well, the nearest star is 24.94 trillion miles from us. Can you imagine that? There are about, Proxima Centauri is in a galaxy, but there are about 100 million stars in our Milky Way galaxy. We live in what's called the Milky Way galaxy. 100 million stars in our galaxy. But there are about 100 billion galaxies. 100 billion galaxies, and they are expected to increase to 200 billion. Why? Because we get telescopes that keep improving. How big is God? How great is He? But yet it says in Psalm 147, verse 4, He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. But then it says in verse 3, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Perhaps you have a broken heart. Perhaps you have discouragement for things that have happened in your life. Know that this great big God can understand what you're going through. He that knows all the stars and all the galaxies, he knows the sigh of your heart. And that's what we see with Hagar when she had good reason, humanly speaking, to fear. And God said, don't fear. I believe tonight he's saying to some of you here, fear not, fear not. He said that to Hagar in Genesis 21, 17. Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. And, you know, a lot of times we're fearful because of our responsibilities. You see, this child was the child of Abraham and Hagar. But Abraham had given up his responsibility to that child, only gave a bottle of water, only gave some bread, and that mother was sent out. And listen to me, God heard the cry of that lad. No food, out of water, just left to die. And that child was Hagar's responsibility. Perhaps, listen to me, you have responsibility in the church, in your family, in your life, and you feel responsible for your ministry. You feel responsible for people, and you should. And perhaps the devil is trying to work on your mind to be fearful and say, you can't handle the responsibility of the bus ministry. You can't handle the responsibility of what you're going through. It's too much for you. Listen, that's the devil. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I believe a lot of people give up on their responsibilities because of fear. But the Lord says to you tonight, you made commitments to God. Maybe you're going to be fearful. I remember I made a commitment to God. I'll preach if you want me to preach. I'll be a pastor if you want me to be a pastor. But I was fearful because I saw what pastors went through. I saw the problems they had as a young man. And I said, I could never go through that. But you know what? I want to say something to you about fear. A lot of times people are overwhelmed with fear because it looks like a great big elephant. But you know how Jesus said, you eat an elephant? He didn't say it in these words, but you know how he would counsel? You eat it one bite at a time. And that's what Jesus said about fear. He said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You're worried about all these things that are your responsibility. And I imagine Hagar was worried about all the meals and all the things that needed to be done for it. But all she needed was to know that somebody is concerned about her responsibility. Somebody's concerned about her broken heart. And that is the God who made the stars. And he's watching over you tonight. And he's saying to you, you don't have to give up on your responsibility. You say, well, what are you talking about? It says in Genesis 21, here's what God said to Hagar. After he said, fear not, he said, arise. Some of you tonight, you need to arise. And you need to make commitments to God. And if you made commitments to God, you need to get back and arise and not be fearful. After he said, fear not, he said, arise. Lift up the lad. And hold him in thine hand. You see, she had no water. She had no food. She had no husband. She had nothing. She was unemployed. She was out there in the wilderness. She was lost. She didn't even know where she was. But yet God said, fear not. And some of you tonight, because of fear, you're ready to quit on God's responsibilities for your life. And God is saying to you tonight, don't quit. Don't fear. Arise and lift up that responsibility, and God will help you. And what did he say here? He said, for I will make him a great nation. Boy, that is encouraging. God said, you just do your responsibility, Hagar. Just lift up the lad. That's all you've got to do. Don't worry about tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, the Bible says that if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. We go through adversities. We go through difficulties in our life. And as a young Christian, I'll admit it, I fainted when I had the slightest adversity. I got discouraged. I got my eyes off God. But adversity, as you said, builds your faith in God. When you have some problems, I didn't want to have the problem of my car tire popping and hitting that ditch, but God lets these things happen in our life so that our faith may take hold of God, and the God of the stars cares about your heart burden, your heart concern. And he doesn't want you tonight to quit. Perhaps tonight you've been contemplating quitting on the church, quitting on something in your family, quitting on your commitments to God, quitting on something. And it's because of worries. It's because of fears. And God says to you tonight, like he said to Hagar, "Fear not, Hagar. You arise. Lift up the lad, for I'm going to make of him a great nation." Listen, if you're going to be great for God, you can't quit. If you're going to be great for God, you know, quitters never win. And quitters quit a lot of times because of fears. You say, "I just can't do it." Yeah, just take that next step. All Hagar needed to do is arise and pick up the lad. Hold him up. And when she did that, it says this, "And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink." You know, it was very discouraging when I heard to run a bus, it's going to cost $520 every time we run a bus. And I said, "Man, that's too much. We got to try to buy another bus." And we got a bus, and now we're looking for another bus, and we're still running the bus. I said, "How are we going to do it?" And you know what? We were down to no money. And just this week, while I was in Florida, somebody anonymously sent, with my name on it, for the bus ministry, $5,000 check. $5,000 check. Now, it don't last very long. But $5,000 check. And I'm just saying to you, God, when you don't fear and you don't quit and you look to God, when he says fear not, then God will help you. God will come through. And he helped her. He gave her there a well of water. You know, she only had one bottle. All Abraham could give her was one bottle of water. But God gave her a whole well of water. She could keep on keeping on with that well, just like Elijah. Remember, he had a brook, and Elijah had a ravens give the meat to him, and the brook kept going. And then when the brook dried up, God had a widow lady, and he said, "Go to the widow lady, and she'll take care of you." See, it's not the person, it's God. And God wants you to look to him instead of being fearful. When you're fearful, it's because you factored God out of the equation of your life. And Hagar needed to know that. And God blessed her and blessed that lad in a wonderful way. And he will do it for you as well. And the lad got a job. He got a wife. And God blessed him. You know, it's good to see some of our men getting married. Amen. Prudent wife is of the Lord. God gives that to you when you're ready. And he blesses. And I was glad to see Kyle doing well. He's called me a number of times. And Bacola, and I've talked to them. He's got a good wife. I thank God for that. I remember my father when I was in Scranton. When he saw God gave me a prudent wife, he said, "I don't worry about you anymore, son. I don't worry about you anymore. You got a good wife there." And that's a blessing. And this guy got a wife, and his mother helped him to get a wife, it says there. And God sees you, and he tells you tonight, hold on to your responsibility. I'll provide for you. My name is Jehovah Jireh. That means the Lord will provide whatever you're going through. He'll provide, even if it's at the last second. He specializes in that, and he will help you to keep going and making progress for the Lord. We want to go forward with the Lord, and we want to make progress. Fear not tonight, because the God of the stars is the God of your broken heart. Secondly, fear not because your past failures do not mean that God will fail you now. And I'm going to Joshua 8. And in Joshua chapter 8, here's what God said to Joshua in verse 1. He says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war." You know, I remember when I was called to preach, the first message I ever preached, I almost passed out. I was so nervous. It was horrible. But I remember it. You know, God showed me you don't need to fear or be dismayed, because he says in Joshua, "The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And God was with Joshua. And that's something I had to know when God called me to be a preacher. Man, people are going to be against me. I'm going to have to go through some things. And God said, "You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be dismayed." You know, dismayed means you just don't know what to do. You're just ready to panic and run. You don't ever have to panic. And you don't have to ever run, because God will help you in the ministry that he's given. And so don't ever panic. And don't be afraid, the Bible said, of their faces. I remember Brother Jack Hollis, when he was preaching as a young preacher, there was a guy in the back of the church, he kept doing this, making faces at him, making ugly faces. And Brother Hollis wasn't dismayed, because he knew God was with him. And this is what he said: "Fear not, Joshua, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land." Now, why was that important? Well, because Joshua had just been defeated in Ai. He just lost soldiers in Ai. And the reason why he was defeated is not because of fear. It was because of pride. They thought, "Oh, we took Jericho." They forgot God blessed them. And they weren't really relying on God. And they weren't really walking carefully with their God. And God let them be defeated, he said, because there was sin in the camp. And they needed to get rid of that sin in the camp. Listen, there is a reason to be fearful if you have known unconfessed sin in your life. Then you need to be fearful, because the Lord will not bless you. He will not be with you. The Bible says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." And we need some people that will fear God and walk with God. You know, people that want to join the Baptist church and live in fornication, you better be afraid, because God is against that. And God will withdraw, and he will withdraw his blessing. And a church that allows that to happen, if you know somebody in the church, they're a member of the church, and they're living in fornication, it's your responsibility to go and confront them and say, you know, you shouldn't do that. And if they don't repent, then you need to take somebody with you and confront them and say, no, you need to get out of that sin. You need to get out of that sin. You can't have God's blessing and have your sin at the same time. That is not something to say, "Oh, I'm not afraid. God will take care of me." No, that's presumption. God will not take care of us if we're walking in known unconfessed sin. We're going to have the Lord's table this Sunday night. The Bible says many people are sick and dying in your church, Corinth, because you guys don't take that seriously. You're living immoral lives, and God will not tolerate that. And so we need to search and examine ourselves and see if there's anything that displeases the Lord. And Joshua did that, but he was still fearful. He was still fearful that they were going to be defeated again, because he remembered that defeat. And God said, "No, you took care of it. Achan has been taken care of. Joshua, fear not. Don't be dismayed. Take all the people of war. Arise and go." And, you know, I hear these fearmongers all the time, fearful of Iran and what the president's doing in Iran. And Benjamin Netanyahu is dead. I just saw he's alive and well. He showed me his five fingers. He's all right. Ben is all right. Hey, don't be afraid. God prophesied this war. It's of God. It's God's blessing. God's going to bless. Don't be afraid of the... But you got these people, they keep saying, "Oh, we're going to have this happen if we go to war with Iran. That bad happen." No, God, if it's God's will, There's no need to be afraid. Too many Christians are biting their fingernails. They're fearful. And they're afraid to do anything. Don't be afraid to do things for God. You say, well, I've failed in the past. That's all right. Get back up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. And God will help you. And He will strengthen you. How will He strengthen you? When you run from your responsibilities? No, when you run to your responsibilities and embrace them and don't be afraid. Why? Because God had more promised land for us to take. He's got more pews for us to fill. He's got more people for us to get saved. He's got more work for us to do. Don't be afraid to give your tithes and your offerings to the Lord. I think of the woman that Jesus saw. She gave her all. A lot of people would be afraid. The Pharisees just gave a little bit of their money. He said, this woman's given her all. Why? Because she's trusting me and she's obeying me. We need some folks, when God says to give it all, they'll give it all. When God says to go out and take a step of faith, you're not going to be fearful to do it, you see. Peter walked on the water. Why? Because he was not fearful. Why was he not fearful? He kept his eyes on Jesus, and he kept moving. He only got fearful when he took his eyes off the Lord, and then he went down, but the Lord still took care of him. I am saying, fear not, number one, because the God of the stars is a great big God, and He's the God that knows your broken heart. And because, number two, your past failures do not mean that God will fail you now. He's just teaching you lessons so that you can be wise and serve the Lord. And then lastly tonight, fear not to serve God, to stay with His will, because you are nothing great. But God's love for you is great. You are a nobody. I am a nobody. But I'm somebody because God's love for me is great. And I'd like you to look at Isaiah 41, where God speaks about this. And if you're one of God's children, this is for you. Look at 41, 8 through 10. I'll read it. You follow in God's word. Isaiah 41. But thou, Israel, art my servant, he says. Jacob, whom I've chosen. You know, when he says Israel, he's speaking of what God made him. When he says Jacob, he's speaking of that worm, that that heel grabber, you know, that heel snatcher. He says, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen. He didn't choose him when he was Israel. He chose him when he was Jacob, the heel grabber, the seed of Abraham, my friend. He says, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. I think of when Joseph, the son of the father Jacob, introduced him to Pharaoh. People would have said, oh, Jacob is getting to meet a great man, the head of the greatest nation in the world. I got to meet the president. I got to shake his hand. But I'm a nobody, but God loves me. I'm a chosen servant of Almighty God, just like Jacob. And Jacob met Pharaoh, but the greater was Jacob. Pharaoh was the lesser. And he says, I've taken thee, and I have chosen thee, and you are my servant. Remember that when you're asking somebody those spiritual questions. Remember that when you're giving somebody the gospel and you may feel afraid. Don't be afraid. You are God's chosen witnesses. He says, you're my witnesses. You're the one that knows me. I've chosen you to be a witness. You say, what are you talking about? Jesus said, you've not chosen me. I've chosen you and ordained you. You're ordained, by the way. He said, I've chosen you, ordained you, that you should what? Go with the gospel. Go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Listen, if you go and you're not afraid and you know you're chosen of God and you know you're a servant of God, He will bless you. Fear not. He'll give you fruit for your labor. And for your, but if you say, oh, I'm going to just bury my talent, I'm just a nobody, I'm not going to give the gospel, it's just God is too hard and harsh, it's not going to, listen, you're not going to be blessed. You get that gospel out there. Don't be afraid, because He's chosen you to be His witness. Then look at verse 11 through 14. He says, behold, all they that were incensed against thee, speaking of Jacob, shall be ashamed and confounded. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Tucker. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Candace. I wouldn't want to be against Israel. You read about Balaam. How many read in the scripture about Balaam? What would Balaam say? He said that they that bless Israel will be blessed. He's quoting Genesis 12 in Numbers. That still applies. And I'm just saying to you, not only is Israel chosen, but you as a child of God, God chose you to be here. God chose you for the work that you're doing. And anybody that is against you, they're against God. If God be for us, who can be against us? You say, a lot of people against me. It doesn't matter. Who are they compared to the God of the Bible who said, I'm for you. I'm for you. And I have taken that to the bank and used that in my ministry when I've been outnumbered and outgunned. And I've said, as long as God and I are together, I'm in the majority. Amen. And so are you tonight. So don't be afraid, because you're nothing great, but God's love for you is what makes you great. And then he says in verse 12, thou shalt seek them, speaking of your enemies, and shall not find them. I've had people all around me in the city, in the church, and they're my enemies. They're no longer here. They're no longer there. Why? Because God gets rid of them. Don't be afraid. Don't ever be dismayed because of your enemies. Because God is for you, and he says, thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. Remember, Patty, when you went to work and you were so afraid of that individual, not to be afraid. As naught. Any enemy that fights God's people and God's purpose, God is able to make them as nothing. They may be big for a time, huge for a time, but God can shrink them. God can shrink them down. Don't be afraid of your enemies. I've learned not to be afraid. I've learned to speak the truth. And then it says, for I the Lord, verse 13, Isaiah 41, I the Lord, that's the personal name for God. He's your personal God. I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. You know, my mother, she's weak now, and she's older, and she likes me to hold her and uphold her and walk her. And she says, you're strong. I like that. I can lean on you. Well, you know what? You can lean on your God. You can lean on Him with whatever bothers you. In fact, the Bible says, listen, casting all your care upon Him tonight, for He careth for you. Because if you don't cast those cares upon God and lean on God, guess what? You're going to lean on the world. You're going to go to Egypt. You're going to go to Pharaoh. You're going to go away from God. And you're going to, because you're fearful, you're going to give in to your enemies. But the Bible says in verse 14 of Isaiah 41, fear not, thou worm, Jacob. He calls Jacob a worm. How would you like to be called a worm tonight? You're a worm. You're nothing great. But God's love for you is great. He says, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel." That means a prince with God. Like we said this morning, you're a prince, you're a son of God, a royal member of the family. "I will help thee," God says. "I will help thee." Listen, he's helped you in the past. Do you think he's done with you? Do you think he's done helping you? No, he's not done helping you. You keep stepping out, he'll help you. Step out in faith, he'll help you. But he wants you to step out in faith. He wants you to get out of the boat and walk with him and follow through on the commitments you made at youth conference. Follow through on the commitments you made to God. And he says, "I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." Ah, tonight, the message to you is fear not. Like Hagar, the God of all the stars cares about your heart and what's on your heart and what might make you fearful. And because perhaps you failed before, God didn't fail. And he won't fail you. He's trying to teach you to walk with him. And so you can trust him and not be fearful, even though you failed in the past. And thirdly, because you are nothing great, but God makes you great because of his great love for his beloved people. And you tonight are one of them. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. Don't let the enemies of the Lord tell you otherwise. Don't let the world tell you otherwise. Fear not. Jesus said to his disciples, "Little flock, don't be afraid. I've given you the kingdom." In other words, I've given you the world. You're little people. You may be in a little place, but you're not little in my sight. I've given you the world. The kingdom is yours. Serve him. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed tonight. We've been talking about fear that can paralyze us.